Jesus rejoicing in the Spirit. Wouldn't you love to have seen Jesus rejoice? And you think of Jesus as the Son of God. And like, wouldn't he be like, yeah, I've seen that. I know that, you know. But to hear some things and to see some things, we find in Scripture where it says that he rejoiced in the Spirit. Now, I don't know about you, but I've taken my walk with God through that of Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, to say, like, whatever my Jesus did, I want to do the same because I want to follow him and learn from him. And I would encourage you to look at that because it will help you along this path of life. It'll help you through the journeys of the ups and the downs. But here we find in Scripture that Jesus rejoices in the Spirit when he sees or hears of exciting developments in his followers. And I look out upon you people here, and I believe and hope everyone here is a follower of Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. And as simple as if he's not, all I have to do as a sinner is say, Lord, forgive me my sins. I confess you as my Lord. Cleanse me with your blood. Come, fill me, Lord. Forgive me. And you are my Lord and Savior. And that gets us into that realm of salvation, of being saved for eternity. I love that it's as simple as that. Confessing your sins, confessing you need him, receiving him, and there you are. And as I know, we've talked many times past and throughout Scripture or services that there is more to our life as a Christian than just being saved and we're going to glory. But that is the main event. You know, that's like the main event right there. Ding, 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 ding. The main event. And then everything after that is just kind of like dressing or just like, you know, whatever for the rest of our life of what God has for us because of the abundance and his love and his strength and his encouragement and to help us get through these times that we all live in. Go to Luke 10:21. Luke 10:21. It says here, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and he said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. Now, we can back up just right above all of that, where we begin to see the 70 return with joy. We go back to the beginning of chapter 10, and 70 are sent out. And Jesus gives them some ideas or thoughts and directions of how to go into the home and how they receive you. And if they don't receive you well, leave and go somewhere else, you know. I like in here, as we were looking at this, and as I was, and 10:7. Now this is just a side note, but it says, and remain in that same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things are set before you, and heal the sick there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. I am here today to let you know that we can bring the kingdom of God to those out there when we come near them. Amen. As kingdom kids, as living in God's kingdom, I'm going to tell you, they cannot keep the church out of the courts. They cannot keep the church out of the schools. They cannot keep the church out of anything that this world thinks that they can tell us that you can't bring religion in here. Because I'm going to tell you, as a kingdom child, as a follower of Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, and the kingdom is, where does he say? Within. And he says that the church is here, me, not this building. That when I go into these entities that say, don't bring God in here, I'm sorry, God's coming in. Hello, God has arrived because I'm his child. So that gives us that understanding that when we get into these situations, it's not us, it's that of the Spirit of God in us, through that of the Holy Spirit moving through us, that the people see something different in us. And then all of a sudden, things happen. But they notice something different. But anyway, that's not even what I really wanted to say. That's just something I ran across again as I was just reviewing here this last few days. I just found that kind of cool. But this is the 70 that went out. And They come back in 17. And then the 70, sometimes like 72, but returned with joy saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Now that's pretty exciting. How many here would love when you go out, somebody's got a demon in them, you just go and cast it out. Pew, pew, pew. Wow! Even the demons are subject to us in, the key is, your name. In your name. And he says to them, Jesus says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. You don't think that gives some excitement there? Woo. Behold, I give you, Jesus says to these people, the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. All the power of the enemy. We see people out here, and we know that this power over the enemy to us is the spiritual realm, okay? But it reflects itself in the natural. We see the Spirit really working very well in people's lives for good and for bad. And we notice the bad out there, and they don't sometimes know why they're doing it, how they're doing it, what the whole deal is, other than they're being manipulated by that of the spirit of the devil. But he says, behold, I give you the authority to trample. And he gives us all the power of the enemy, over all the power. The enemy has no power over you guys. When you're going into a situation, whether it's finances, relationships, job, whatever the case might be, yes, those are all natural, right? But the battle is in the spiritual realm, but as I take control of those things in the natural by that of the spiritual, that I see things happen in the natural. How about you? Do you see that too? I mean, it's a thing that we've got to be paying attention to, because that's why sometimes the people in the world, they don't quite understand it, because they beat their head against the natural. We're going to change. We're going to change this. 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 You're not going to change this. It'll just wear you out. It'll get you frustrated. And then once we get frustrated, and we've been trying it for so long and we're not seeing change, we go, oh, well, I give up. I give up. Let them do whatever. I give up. That's just what the enemy wants you to do. Give up. The enemy loves it when he sees, especially children of God, give up. But my God says, Tim, don't give up. Why is that? Because Jesus is saying over here that all the power of the enemy, I give you control over that. I give you the authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means hurt you. But then he says this in 20. And this is where it's very important. And even though we can do miraculous things in the spiritual realm, even though we can win battles, guys, we can win battles in the spiritual realm, and we can see a lot of things happen, and we can see victories. How about that? You guys see victories? I hope so. I do. But here Jesus kind of says, now listen, guys, that's all well and good. But nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because what? Your names are written in heaven. You're on the heavenly roll. Your name is in heaven. When your time upon this earth is completed, and we all find that time somewhere down the line, we've been born to die. But when we die, for those that's your name is in heaven, you're going to glory. Amen. And then he's got some more tasks for us to do in the future. Woohoo! Hallelujah. But that's the thing to look at. Sometimes we get so one-sided when we see the victories, and you know, we've seen victories in this congregation of prayers that we have prayed for families and situations and things outside this church or whatever. And we've seen the answers to those prayers as we have prayed them. Because a lot of times, what we do a lot of times as our prayers go forth, but Lord, let thy will be done, not by what I'm saying to do. And so we keep that measure in there, always realizing, I want to pray it this way because I would love for this person or that situation to come out this way, Lord. But Lord, I know that your ways are higher than mine and your ways are not mine, your thoughts are not mine. So Lord, I can trust you when I say, but I trust, let thy will be done. Here's my thoughts, but let your will be accomplished. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And right after that, in verse 21, what happens? This is when we find that Jesus rejoices. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit, and he says, I thank you, Father. We've already read that. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent. We'll get into that. We'll find out. At that same time, Jesus was filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit, and he said, Oh, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves as wise, as clever, and for revealing them to the childlike. How many here came to Christ like a child? I had no understanding of it, but I came to him like that of a child, and I remain with him like that of a child. Those that have been serving him for 30, 40, 50 years, 10 years, 20, whatever the case is, you can never grow up enough to always have that childlike faith and that childlike trust in our Heavenly Father to know that he has my best interest at hand. I may not always understand what I just went through. I may not understand what I'm dealing with right now because it's pretty yucky, but I know he has, my interest. But it also looks at this, that those who think that themselves are wise and clever, you know, they think they've got it, but they don't. Yes, Father, it pleased you to do it this way, he said. Hallelujah. This was the New Living Testament in that verse of that. In the Amplified, that same Luke 10:21 says this, In that same hour he rejoiced and gloried in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have concealed these things relating to, and this is what it's all, now we think he's jumping up for joy because they went and cast demons and all this out. No, Jesus is rejoicing because he says in that verse 20, do not rejoice, but the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice, your names are in heaven. You have salvation. So he says, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, in the Amplified, that you have concealed these things relating to salvation from the wise and understanding and the learned. And you've revealed them to the babes, the childish, the unskilled, and the untaught. See, sometimes we think we've got to teach people about Christ before they understand the salvation that Christ has for them. But sometimes our conversations with them and just one-on-one and talking to them of the love and the grace and the mercy of God breaks through that. And sometimes, and I've seen this and I've heard this through other pastors and other people, it's a lot of times, it's like it's easier to share and talk to someone that has no particular belief than those that have been in different churches throughout their life and growing up in different denominational things. And it's not bad, I'm not saying that, but it's just where people are at and some things that they have learned or come from. And we're not a perfect church. I wish I was, but we'd be in heaven then, I guess, you know. So we're not a perfect church. But the perfect church that I'm trying to follow is just read God's word for what God's word says, and that's what it says, and I don't need to worry about anything else. But as we look at these things, I can talk to just about, anybody really on this, but try to talk and bring salvation to somebody that's educated. They want to debate everything in the Bible before it's about even what salvation is. Well, how do you know this? You know, what was the size of the cross? Was it, I don't know, all these things they start talking about. I don't know. What penny nail was it that they hung him? Well, it was a spike. I don't know. You know, we get in all these details that don't amount to anything. But I just want to come and let you know that Jesus died for you. And that what he died and what I've got, you can have. And we just share it by that of love. We find that the successful mission of the 70, or 72, caused Jesus to burst forth in spontaneous demonstration of worship in the Spirit. That's what I would love to have seen. That for Jesus to just break forth in spontaneous worship. Have you ever seen somebody just break forth in spontaneous worship? It's like, wow, the joy, the happiness, you know, the shouting, whatever, dancing, raising their hands, shouting to God, spontaneous. He burst forth in spontaneous demonstration of worship in the Spirit. The Greek word here would suggest shouting and leaping with joy. My Jesus was shouting and leaping with joy. Because he says this is what it's all about. The most important thing is that your names are written in heaven. And they were there. Hallelujah. Thank you. He also expressed gratitude that God's revelation is given to the simple and not to those particularly like that of the scribes who consider themselves wise in religious matters. Then we understand that. We've known that. We've read things about the scribes, the Pharisees, and all these learned men of God, of the laws and things. And they put a lot of restrictions on people. And we know that they had tons and tons of laws that they didn't even cover, but they tried to put all these laws on the Jewish people, you know. And so we won't get there, but we just know that what he is saying here and what we're looking at is that, and this is what it's about with that of Christ, is that the scribes and those who consider themselves very religious, when I go to people and they say, I'm not religious, I go, praise God, because I'm not religious. I love it. Now, and of course, their understanding of it is probably different, of, I know, than what I'm thinking. But I take that to let them know that just because you're not religious, that's okay. You know, I'm not religious. I have a relationship. And I tell them sometimes, I go, it's not about religion. It's about a relationship with that of Christ, of Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Religion will make you stuffy. Religion will limit you. Religion will put you through having to jump through hoops and all kinds of things to fulfill something that man puts the religious barriers in there when God says, freely come. And so I love to be able to talk to people when I come into contact with them in very, sometimes very serious situations and sad situations that I've sometimes, when I got, one time back I shared, when I got called out for a call for the police department, that when they said, well, they say they're not very religious, I was glad. To where I could at least go in there, and even though they were not religious, they wanted prayer. And I was able to pray with them. And it just opens up doors of opportunities to just to share the love of Christ. Thank you, Father, that we are here to do that to those around us. And the footnotes as well, it says, Jesus thanked God that spiritual truth was for everyone and not just for the elite. See, it's everything that's in this book is for everyone. It's not because you got a certain stature of income. It's not because you got a certain degree of college. It's not because you live on this side of town or that side of town or whatever. There's no bearing at all. Those are all things that man looks at as trying to put into as parameters. But the truth was for everyone and not just for the elite. In the world we have and we see many of life's rewards do what? They go to the rich. They go to the powerful. They go to the intelligent. But the kingdom of God is equally available to everyone, regardless of their power or their position or their abilities. Coming to Jesus is not done with our intellect nor by our strength, but through a childlike trust. Remember, Jesus isn't opposed to knowledge. He's just opposed to spiritual pride. And that's being wise in someone's own eyes. So just as Jesus thanked God, let us all as well thank him. Because we have access to God through that of Jesus. Just to touch on that a little bit, I can go back into Matthew 11:25, and I'll read this if you want to turn there. But Matthew 25, Jesus talks about giving true rest. In Matthew 11:25, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and have revealed them to babes. See how important this is? We begin to see this throughout Scripture, how God or Jesus is saying, thank you, God, for hiding it from those that are wise and hidden, but you've revealed it to those the world would pass over. But he says, you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. And then verse 27, all these things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I look at that a lot of times of thinking like the tasks that we do for God, you know, the yoke and the things and the tasks that we do. As I look into this here, Jesus has a unique and an incomparable relationship with that of the Father. Because of his relationship is immediate and unmeditated. He alone can reveal God. Now, in contrast, when you start looking at this yoke and the bond and all these things, it says, in contrast to the heavy burden, and this is where that was at, the heavy burden of Jewish legalism, Jesus calls for an open, free, and loyal relationship. That's my yoke, which enables obedience to the law's righteousness of that of his burden. Now, there's things that are required by us. It's not just a free-for-all with that of Christ, okay? There's a change in our spirits, a change in our lives, and we change. But what he is saying is that yoke of bondage was that Jewish legalism, and that restricts. And we have that in our days of churches today, to where there are some things out there that there's just so many things legalistically about these things that people sometimes can't even follow it, or it gets to be so much, it's like, I'll just go back out in the world, you know? Now I'm going to jump back again to where we started, Luke 10. And I want to look at 10:23 and 24. Because here's what happens. Now Jesus turns what? Privately to his disciples. It says here in verse 23, then he, Jesus, turned to his disciples and he privately says this, blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it, and to hear whatever you hear and they have not heard it. There's people out there, they would love to hear and see what you see. And what I hear and what I see in my relationship with that of Christ now is by that of the spiritual realm, by that of the Holy Spirit speaking into me and showing me. Now, he may show me things in the natural, and he will relate it to me in a spiritual sense of an understanding of why, Lord, am I focused on this particular thing in the natural? And then God will, by that of the Holy Spirit, say, that is what I'm meaning about whatever scripture I've just read or what's been on my heart from something that I've touched upon with that of God and trying to question him, like, I wonder what's this about? What's this about? The disciples, they had a great opportunity. They were eyewitnesses of Christ. But for the longest time, they took Jesus for granted. Anybody here taken Jesus for granted? I have. I'm sorry. But I got to be honest with you. I've taken him at times for granted. He'll always be there. I don't have to pay a lot of attention to him. I don't have to pray to him a whole lot. I don't have to read his word. I don't have to, whatever the case is, meditate or be with him. The life is busy. I got things I got to accomplish. I got this so many days, whatever the case. And we all have that in our life, don't we? It's okay. That's life. That's life around us. Life is busy. And it's getting busier and busier and busier. But I do, when I recognize that, I do ask for forgiveness. How about you? And I go, oh, dear Lord, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry that I've turned my back on you. I'm so sorry that I've allowed the cares of this world, the cares of this week to overtake what I should be doing with you. Forgive me. Forgive me. And guess what? Does he forgive me? Does he forgive you? Yes. As we repent and ask for forgiveness, again, we shared many times, the blood of the cross is still the blood for today. The blood of forgiveness and wiping away of our sins is just as powerful of redemption, of our salvation. It's just as powerful for helping us cleanse us of our current daily sins that we fall into because of life that's happening around us. But they had a great opportunity. They were eyewitnesses of Christ, but for the longest time, they took Jesus for granted. Now, and I look at that, they were eyewitnesses of Christ. Now, I've seen Christ move in some miraculous things, like I've said earlier, when we've prayed as a body and throughout my life of serving God, and things in my personal life. But I see a lot of it as I do what? As I witness it in his scripture. Especially back through that of the Old Testament. I love reading the Old Testament and just seeing the hand of God move mightily. But that was there when I was not there, but I do believe it because I do it by faith, because I believe this entirety of the Bible is God's word. And what it says, it's what it says. Men were inspired, men and women were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write what God wanted them to write. So, I am an eyewitness only by that of reading some of these things of Christ, but I still get excited as if I were there. Because when I read things about the Jewish people, when they're crossing the river, when they're going to the battle, when they're doing this, when Goliath is... I vision myself on that battlefield. I can almost play it out in my mind. Do you? You know? Wow. But for the longest time, they took Jesus for granted, not really listening to him or even obeying him. Oh, boy. Today, we have a privileged position. We have over 2,000 years of church history. We have the Bible to read. We got God's Word. We got study helps. We got so many things that are available to us to keep us connected to that of God. And books and readings and commentaries and all are good, but main thing is to stay focused personally, one-on-one with him in your prayer life. One-on-one with him in his Word. You want some clarity? Look at some study notes. But remember, they're just study notes. And it's just man's opinion or some teachings or things that are that. So you have to kind of dig through those and say, well, that's interesting thought, or, you know, all of these things that are taking place. You get in Revelation, all of Revelation is a lot of interpersonal, I can't think what I'm going to call it now, but it's just all things that men and scholars have tried to put together by what they believe. And you can find 25 scholars have different opinions of tribulation, of how the coming back is going to be, all of these things. I like to focus on my walk with God today. I like where I'm at today because, you know why? Because God has me here for now, for this time, for this place, and for this time of where I'm at in his kingdom to do something for him now. When Revelation comes, I've told people, when Revelation comes, I know I'll be in there and where he wants me to put me and pre-list this, that, before the battle. Oh, I come back, you know, with Jesus. I'll be there. Let's go. He's got that all planned out, but I just want to have relationship with him here in my life here today. I want to stay close to him. I want to pray for people's needs. I want to introduce people to my Jesus so that they have some fun with him like I have fun. Did anybody here have fun with Jesus? I hope you do, because it talked about here where he was jumping and woo-hoo, Jesus was shouting. Like when, you know, one sinner comes home, when somebody says the sinner's prayer, all heaven rejoices. You know, that's what this is all about. Sometimes we have such a hard time figuring out the things of today with God. I don't know why I want to deal with something that's in revelatory, that's way out there, that's just like, well, I love to read it, but I read it and I say, wow, that's going to be exciting. I hope I understand it when it happens, and I'm sure he'll give me the knowledge to do that. Or he'll open us up as we read things. We just have to be open to him. But the most important thing is to have that personal relationship with him and just learn from him and trust him and come to him as childlike children. And as we are childlike, no matter how old we are with him, he will continue to teach us, and we will continue to grow with him, and we will continue to grasp with him. Isn't it great when you see kids go to school, and throughout the seasons and the years, you see them develop? Their vocabulary, their writings, their whatever. And now it's like, you know, I used to have all these, you know, Jane and Spot books and these writing tablets and all, but now they come home and they got a computer thing. It's the technology we're in. But I see my grandchildren developing and growing. And even though, and many of us, some of us here that sit here today have been out of high school and probably colleges for some time now, but you're still growing and learning. We never stop learning. No matter what our education is, looking at God, we never stop learning more of God. Even though we think we've got a lot of him, we still don't know enough about him or whatever. We don't have enough of him in our life, whatever that case might be. But God is there to continue to keep putting that information in. Last week, I think, I talked about, you know, with these new phones and all, with the apps. You got to activate these apps to get the benefit of them. God has all these apps in us, in the apps in his Bible. We've got to plug in, and you got to activate them. And then you know what you've got to do, like you do with an app in a phone? You got to give it the authority to have its control over your contacts or your pictures or whatever, so that it can operate, your location, you know. If you want accurate weather, you better let them know where you're at. I've learned that. It's like, why is this thing still showing, you know, 85 degrees when it's like 62 outside? I don't understand this. So as we surrender a lot of things, why is it that we surrender so much to our phones and our computers to allow them to track us, to learn our habits, to learn this and to whatever, but yet when we get to that of God, we want to limit our applications to him and say, I want to control that and not let you have total control over my life. Whew. That'll limit God. Just like when I limit my location in my phone, it will limit the information I get. When I limit my time with God, when I limit what I want to know from God, it's going to limit what God has for me. Not that God is restricting it and holding it back. Guess who's restricting and holding it back from God? Me. And when I have that realization, all I've got to do is click that little thing in there and says, I accept all the cookies and all the things from God. Oh, but my God is so love and grace and mercy. He's there. He's just waiting. Oh, come on, Tim. Come on, activate that next level. Activate that next level. And I'm going, I don't know if I want to go that deep with you, Lord. I don't know. Well, after all these times with him now in the years, and I've not been with him as long as some in here, but the times I've been with him, I want more of him. How about you? I cannot have enough of my God. And I know my God can say this, I can never have enough of Tim. Why? Because he loves me. He sent Jesus to die for me. He wants me to have that relationship. Hallelujah. Jesus reconciled me back to God, my Heavenly Father. We take God for granted sometimes. But I am thankful that he loves me and his mercy and grace is there because it works past that. I want to go quickly then to Matthew. We're going to just kind of touch upon this as we come out of this a little bit. Matthew 13, 16, 17. And this is, again, this is all looking at opening the eyes of the babes, opening the eyes of these people. And so in Matthew 13, 16, 17, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see, and they did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but they did not hear it. The things that we have with God, the things that God has with us. There's people out there, and some of those that, there are some people really struggling trying to figure out God, but they're trying to figure out God on their own terms. They're trying to figure out God to where they can understand him in intellectual understandings. And when you begin to get intellectually with God, God will leave you in the dust. Because you'll be going like, I don't understand how that happened. I don't understand how that can be. Well, it's all by that of trust and faith. Faith! Faith. If you want to honor God, have your faith, okay? The purpose of parables, and this was coming out of that parable, and we hear many parables in the Bible and what it's used for, but it says the purpose of parables, and this is where this is coming from, was to make spiritual truths clear to the hearers, to put truth in a form easily remembered. I love parables. I share with people here that my God and me, I walk a life of parables. That's what I said earlier about when I look at something and I fixate on it, or I go back and I look at it again, maybe two or three times, all of a sudden my spirit in me will say, what are you trying to show me in that, God? It could be the fields, it could be a bare field, it could be a tree, it could, whatever it is. I think what that is, it's just you want to be so sensitive to God that when you see those things happening, that's kind of like out of the ordinary. Now I look at things and I go, oh, big deal, okay, and go on. But there's something when you're connected to God through that of the Holy Spirit that you begin to notice this, and something in God says, pay attention to that, and then my spirit says, ask him why, and so I say, God, what are you trying to teach me? And he begins to unfold. He begins to unfold just a wonderful, wonderful blessing to me because he's speaking to me through that. For spiritual truths to be clear to the hearers, to put truth in the form easily remembered. Many people in the world look at those things and to them it's just an everyday occurrence. They don't see anything unusual about this or anything unusual about that. That's just life. That's just this. But for a child of God, God uses these things to communicate to us. He uses his word to speak to us. He uses our times with him in prayer and through that of the Spirit. Remember, Jesus says, I go so the Holy Spirit can come, so he can lead you, guide you into truth, teach you these things of our Heavenly Father. And so that of a child of God with that of the Holy Spirit, that's why we continually have a continuation of feeding of information from God in our lives of today. How many here today need feeding from God on information of today because of the days that we live in? I can run around a whole lot like that, whatever that chicken was in that story we used to read. You know, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. Boy, the sky is falling. I'll tell you that right now in this old world. But I'm not running out there with the chicken and all that. I'm saying, oh, hallelujah, Lord, that you're my God. You're going to sustain me. You're going to protect me. You're going to be whatever I need, you're going to be, God. And I'm going to share with others when the opportunity comes, and they too can have what I have. It's for everybody. But anyway, we'll wrap up here. I want to look at 1 Peter. And I think what it is, it's really kind of interesting, is that all these educated people, the hierarchy of religion and people, even in Jesus' days. I mean, Jesus had a problem with the religious. the sinners loved him, and he loved the sinners, but the religious people didn't like Jesus because he loved the sinners, and that didn't make sense. But that was where Jesus found his calling, amen, is in that of sinners, because we were all sinners anyway, saved by grace, hallelujah. But as we look at this in 1 Peter 1, 10 through 11, and it's talking here, a heavenly inheritance and all, but in 1:10, it says, of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Now we look at this, and it's just quickly this. The Old Testament prophets had an incomplete vision of the Christ event. They foretold through the Spirit the salvation that the Christians now have, and that what we will experience. So it's not that they were off, it's just that they didn't have what? The full picture. Who has the full picture now? We do. We've got the Old Testament prophecies, we've got the New Testament of the prophecies coming to existence with the birth of Christ and the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, the Pentecost where the Holy Spirit comes down, and we go on and on and on. And all I know, and I tell people, that what we saw in the Old Testament in reading came about in the New Testament. When the New Testament starts talking about it at the very end, the last chapter of the book of Revelations, I've got a suspicion that Revelations is going to happen too. I just don't know when. So it's all complete, and it's all there, and it's all going to happen because there's evidence throughout times. And these prophecies were not just like a day later and 2 days later. These prophecies were like 5 years later, 10,000, 3,000 years later, 4,000 years, time spans of time. But they didn't quite know exactly, and that's what he is saying here, that that was hidden from those that were wise and prudent and revealed to them that were babes. So I want you to be encouraged that, number one, that Jesus rejoices over you, and for what you know of him, and for what your first thing is, my first love, that of Christ in salvation, and knowing that I got him as my Lord and Savior. And all this other stuff, being able to go and pray against the spirits and things that are happening and sicknesses and illnesses and things like that, and knowing that God will answer those areas. Those are well and good, and I love that. But like I've said many times, I said, I don't know what more I need to thank my God for other than that of my salvation. What more do I need from you, God? But God has, Tim, I've got a lot more for you. I know, God. I will take it, God. But I'm just saying, God, after Jesus came and died for me and my salvation, I think I'm pretty blessed. How about you? And that he's always there, never leaves me nor forsakes me. Always there to comfort me. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We do thank you, Father, for the salvation that you have given for all of us. And that is still available to those that are outside in the lost world. Lord, I thank you that we have been given the task of being the salt and the light, and that you have given us a message that will never grow old, and that will never die. Lord, we will continue to proclaim Jesus Christ has died for the sinner. We will continue to let people know that they too can have a place in that of heaven. We too, Lord, will want them to know that they can be reconciled back to you through that of Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you that we walk in love and compassion. And I pray that over and over, Lord, in my spirit, that as I see my Jesus and how he handled those in the lost world and those of sinners, Lord, that the love and the compassion and the forgiveness that he had, I pray, Lord, that I can follow that as an example. I pray that we as a church walk in that area of compassion at all times. And that we don't walk in that of judgment or whatever this is going on or happening, Lord, but we just walk in love. And when that doesn't work, we go back to walking in love. Because, Lord, it was your love that saved us. Bless each and every one here today, I pray, Lord. Touch them in their spirits. Lord, I pray that you will be with them in the days ahead of this week. I pray, Lord, that they will find your hand of joy and protection and strength, whatever it is, Lord, that they just find this week ahead of them. Because, Lord, you already have it prepared. You know the beginning to the end. You know what each day for each one of us holds this coming week. And Father, we know that you are going before us. Prepare the way, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.